These are the hackathon winners for Build 2013. Right now we have the Windows Phone, the team that won. So these guys built applications from file new in 50 hours. They started off at day zero. They started at 7 p.m., made a brand new team, literally created the idea, started building it, and then at 6 p.m. yesterday, we actually judged every build attendee got to judge the applications, and now here are the winners. So for our Windows Phone, can you tell me your team name and your members?
Hi, so our team here, I am Lance McCarthy, and the name of the team is the G-Ambassadors. So the G-Ambassadors are consisted of me and Paras
Vadera
and Jan Hanneman.
Awesome. So your app is Windows Phone, and it looks like you have a cool little toy there that, if memory serves, that's a Netduino.
It sure is. It's a Netduino Plus 2.
Okay, so because it's a piece of hardware, I'm assuming you're talking to it through Bluetooth?
Absolutely. So the Netduino has the .NET micro framework on it, which has serial ports. It allows me to plug in a Bluetooth module, which lets me communicate to anything that accepts a Bluetooth signal.
Okay, so to me that looks like a force sensor, so could explain your app.
So the Netduino has a resistive force sensor attached to it. It detects how hard something is being pressed against it. So I take this signal and I then convert it into a Bluetooth signal. Over the Bluetooth to the Windows Phone app, which I have here in front of me. The Windows Phone app then takes this signal, shows you a little bit in the UI, and then it moves on up to Azure. So here's Jan on the Azure part.
So yeah, Lance started coding on the Netduino part, and I said, what can we do with those data? So I looked into Azure Mobile Service, so first time like 2 days ago, and I created a service where we could push the sensor data and then have it stored in a SQL database to generate a leaderboard, global leaderboard. Yeah, and then we started off and created a Windows 8 app, and Paras worked on that one.
Yeah, so we take the data from the Azure Mobile Services SQL Cloud and pull it down into the Windows 8 app. The Windows 8 app refines the data, shows you the top 10 leaderboard kind of things, you know, who hit the hardest. And then we also show the last person who hit it, how hard they hit it with a score, and like a curve chart of all their pressure points they hit when they hit the Netduino board. So you will see that Jean here just hit it, and we saw the last curve, like what the pressure points are.
So when you guys were actually showing this app to the attendees last night, you guys it actually broke because someone hit it so hard. That cracked me up beyond belief. So
what happened was after massive abuse from a lot of build attendees, we started to think of ways to fix it. I took a walk down to Radio Shack and I got some liquid wire, it's liquid dries up and turns into a wire, so we were able to fix it in time for the show.
Oh, awesome. Yeah.
So if we have the display up on camera, I can hit it, and you'll see that value came in. And these are values that are being sent immediately up to Azure into the leaderboard.
So last night, we actually had a 3D printed board on top of this sensor, you know, that people were hitting. Yeah. So that kind of the sharp corner of the 3D printed board cut this wire. But basically, the end goal would be to have this kind of boxed up, this all nitty-gritty, the wires are hidden from the end user, and we could place this in a thing like, you know, place as a bar, and there are people who are drinking, and this is a game. You know, let's see who can hit this hardest, you know, like,
I guarantee you, myself and Dan Fernandez will figure a way out to game the system and be, like, number one across the board.
Well, we'll see.
So, what were some of the challenges that you guys faced doing this in such a short period of time?
Time, the number one. But what we did was we took our strengths and decided on who would be able to build a certain part with the least amount of errors in the shortest amount of time. So there's always going to be errors, you have to plan for it. So what I did, I'm familiar with the Netduino and the C-sharp that are there, and I was able to do that very quickly. So that was done first. And I did most of this stuff on the phone before Jan took over. So as each step happened, we were able to verify that it worked up to that point.
Okay.
So by following that, we got a lot of work done in a short amount of time, and therefore cutting through those challenges.
Awesome. How did you guys deal with source control? because there's multiple people there, and it's typically just you're not the only person doing stuff.
Yep. So. It's on my TFS server.
Okay.
So using Visual Studio.
Personal, or did you use hosted?
It's hosted with visualstudio.com.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. Oh, awesome. You guys checking bugs against one another?
We didn't have many.
Right. So, like, what kind of controls did you use? Like, that? Did you guys actually build the controls there, or did you use a third-party control library?
Excellent question. So, we got this very good-looking UI on the Windows 8 client and the Windows Phone client with the Telerik control. So, in here, we have a Telerik gauge,
okay.
Which allows me to set up a couple different indicators. So, if you see it, you'll see a bar and an arrow indicator.
Yeah.
And a little bit of coloring, that very quick, like 15 minutes, I had that one.
Awesome.
The Windows 8 one was done.
Yeah, so Windows 8 is also a Telerik chart control that shows the pressure points in the chart. And it's just a regular grid on the left side which shows the leaderboard. And, you know, Telerik has such great controls. It was just simply put it on the page and pass it some data points and it just displays the chart. We didn't have to actually hard code the chart or code the chart anywhere.
So actually one interesting cool thing that the Windows Phone team actually did was they actually gave us all Nokia 925s to hand out to every first, second, and third place winner. So I just like to say thank you to the Windows Phone team and Nokia for that.
Thank you.
Like, other than, you know, building this, like the circuit board, were you guys afraid like that was going to break? Like, what were your pain points there?
Because
that looks like a lot of wires.
Yeah. So the shield that's on top of the actual Netduino is made to be played with like this. It's designed for it.
So it's a prototype shield?
Yes, so the prototype shield with the breadboard on it allows me to do all this crazy stuff and not worry about it. However, the sensor was not meant for this kind of abuse. So we found that one out the hard way.
So, in fact, even yesterday afternoon, like 1 p.m., we went to Radio Shack, got a better sensor just to plug it in and see if that works and gives us a more pressure sensitivity.
Okay.
And, you know, got that.
So I'm looking at this really quick. So you have the force sensor. The board to the right, I believe, is the Bluetooth.
Correct.
And then what is oh, that's a battery pack.
Battery pack, tricky.
What also difficult was to figure out the scaling of the pressure. So this thing is maxing out very quickly, so we had to put in some resistors, and then we also calibrated our 3D printed pad, and we had to do some math in a Windows Phone app to pre-process the raw values to get a nice leaderboard. So it's not easy to max it out. So people at the demonstrations, they had to really hit too hard.
So you guys are using .NET Micro Framework, Windows, WinRT, WinPhone, and Azure. Are you guys using like portable class libraries? How are you guys dealing with all the code sharing? Are you actually, or is each one individually the same, like different projects?
Yeah, basically we have the Windows 8 project and the Windows Phone project, and we use a code sharing feature. So basically linking the source code files, and then we have conditional compiling enabled. Okay. So we can reuse our math classes for smoothing out the data, to calibrating the data. Okay. We can share a lot of code.
So I know from personal experience that with .NET Micro Framework, you have to, since it's such an extreme subset, I had to do major changes in certain blocks of code. Did you guys encounter that as well or no?
Yeah, but basically we just have all the math behind. That was pretty code from scratch, so we don't use much of the APIs and interfaces we need. So that was an easy point.
So, gentlemen, great job. We're going to bring up the Windows Azure winners. So I'd like to personally thank you.
Thank you, Clint.
Thank you. Okay, welcome back. We now have the Windows Azure winners. So can you guys tell me about your name and your app and your team?
Okay, so our team name is The Bottlenecks. I'm Lance Nguyen.
Tom Maravilla.
Tony Spencer.
And I'm Jared Roper.
So did you guys actually know each other beforehand? Like, how did you form your team?
So I've worked with Tony in the past.
Okay.
I didn't know these two other guys until Build, but they work for the same company, and so We just kind of met up at Build and formed a team.
Okay, cool. So what is your app? Because this was quite possibly one of the funniest apps I saw, and it looks remarkably polished, like shockingly polished.
Oh, well, thanks. So it's called Captionary, and it's kind of what it sounds like. Pictures show up on the screen. It's a social app. A bunch of users can log in and write captions for the different pictures that show up. Everybody gets to see them. Everybody gets to play. There's one now. Yeah. And you can see how the people, as they write the captions, the judge can see the ones coming in. He can pick the winner, and it moves on. So it's a very social game. It's much more interaction between users versus interaction between a user and a computer.
So like when I first saw it, I was thinking it's like apples to apples or Cards Against Humanity, but you know, pick your own adventure where you get to actually make the sarcastic comment yourself. So
yeah, and that we got a lot of feedback like that. When we came up with the idea, we had several thoughts on various different apps, each one better than the last. And Captionary was the one that came out on top, and we just kind of ran with it. We started putting it out, thinking what we thought would be fun, what we thought would be engaging. Turns out the app itself kind of takes a back seat to the user interaction. So what we found was the app kind of acts as the carrier wave for the fun, and the people who are playing it make their own fun. So it was much less disconnected people posting stuff and much more several people in close proximity with a tablet, with a laptop, talking to each other, laughing, having a good time. So it turned out great. I think it turned out great.
So what tech is actually under the hood here?
Okay,
Because I definitely see what looks to be a Azure, because you guys want Azure.
Right.
But then a website plus, I believe, Windows Store?
A Windows Store app.
Do you have a Windows Store client as well?
We went down the road with Windows Store client, but we weren't able to finish it in time.
Okay.
And so we ended up just presenting on a web app and a Windows 8 phone, or a Windows 8 Store app. The technology is the same on both of them. We were able to port it right across. It just worked out great. For the communication, we used SignalR.
Okay, so you did use SignalR.
We used SignalR for the bidirectional communication. We were running MVC4 on an Azure web roll. And for the UI elements, we were using AngularJS to get the very quick, responsive UI. I think that's about it. Tony, you got anything to say about it?
We went down the road of using OAuth for authentication, but for the purpose of the demonstration, we kind of moved away from that and let people just join the game as a guest.
Okay.
But we spent quite a bit of time hooking that up.
That's like a V4 feature.
That's
not today's problem.
That's right.
So, and then once again, I mean, what you guys just did was the perfect thing. Like 50 hours, it's not needed for the demo, cut it.
Yeah, and we actually got a lot of help from some design experts that were there, Laura and Jeremy, and a bunch of those helped us out, because we're not UI experts, but they gave us some great tips on how to make it look better, cleaner, and mostly it was about cutting out a lot of the junk that we had added in as developers.
So, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys actually even had time to put in some unit tests.
That's correct. We actually put the unit tests in early on. I was a stickler for that. I was mocked because it was just a hackathon, they said. Code craftsmanship requires unit testing. And so we had a couple unit tests, and it actually worked out really well. What we found was, you know, we got to use all the new tools, you know, we got to play with all the new stuff. So, you know, loading up Visual Studio, the IDE, grabbing NuGet, putting a few packages together. Within, you know, a few hours, we had SignalR wired up, we had Angular wired up, we had a console app running.
Are these the first times you've actually used SignalR and Angular?
First time using SignalR, never used it before.
Okay.
I did a few tutorials and stuff, but I've used Angular before, never together, but they just played beautifully, and all the technology just came together really slick. It was a pleasure.
And one of the last night was a blast. That was one of the hardest parts of hackathon, was when we set up our science fair booth, and then as the hundreds of people just came by, we just had to grab people and pull them in. You know, hey, okay, come here, you want to play? And
yeah, so actually, that's one big thing I did not mention to Channel 9 Live. Like, we actually set up the best we could to a science fair motif, where it's you guys had your touchscreen monitor, your app, and we put you in front of it, and people just started streaming by. If they liked it, they put in a token into a little bin, and at the end, the most votes won.
Right, so you just couldn't sit there and wait for people to come to you. All four of us, you know, Jared was over there, he was pushing people in towards us, the others we were grabbing, and it was fun, but it was difficult.
So,
but the great thing was people would come by, you know, and they'd see the first screen. We end up having what, like six screens going at a time running the app, and so people would come by, they'd see the first screen, and you know, they'd kind of chuckle, and then as they moved in and they saw captions coming up and saw people playing, they'd get more engaged and they'd start talking to their buddy next to them, and it just turned into this great social experience.
Yeah, I know. Bringing
people
you guys
together.
Totally got me with that exact same thing. I'm walking by and I'm like, whoa, what's this? And then later on in the day, I actually, the same thing happened where I think with Brian Peake or Peter Deswick, he's going to punch me in the face for mispronouncing his last name, but they both grabbed me and were like, dude, you got to check this out. So I'm ecstatic you guys won. It was a great job. I can't believe you guys actually pulled that off in 50 hours. Well, and like, once again, Channel 9 Live, I stress 50 hours straight of just, and these are paid attendees. Like, these guys could go to sessions, and this is what they produced.
Well, I tell you, meeting with the experts, talking with the guys from Microsoft, we got a ton out of it. It was awesome. Thank you.
Once again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
And thank you. Okay, up next will be Windows Store. Hi, Channel 9 Live. Here is the Windows Store winners. You guys put me in quite possibly the most uncomfortable position day zero. So day zero actually was before we announced all the new features in Windows 8.1. And one of the new features is file print for 3D printers. And you guys did a 3D print application right off the bat. So can you tell me about your project along with team name and who you are?
My name is Erik Hogard. I'm from Denmark.
Me, Angelina Samir.
Joey Schlechter from Clearwater.
Well, what happened when we got together here that you had set up some 3D printers, and I thought, hey, we want to do some 3D printing.
Okay.
Nia and I has met last year at the hackathon, and we sort of sat down at the same table where Joey was sitting, and we ended up being a team.
So you guys are actually repeaters.
We were on separate team last year.
But you guys did the hackathon last year.
Yeah.
Correct, yeah.
See, that is the amazingness of Build, where you guys even went through the same torture again.
Exactly. So we asked, of course, hey, can we use this printer for the hackathon? And you didn't want to give us an answer.
I got slightly cagey.
But amazingly, there were Microsoft people on site with 3D printing experience that couldn't tell us anything. So they didn't tell us anything repeatedly, and we started with on the application. And of course, during the keynote, we got 3D printing support in 8.1, and what our app sort of tries to bridge is that now 3D printing is mainstream, it's in the OS, everybody can go down the store, buy a printer, and start printing. But the main issue is that even with new printer drivers and all that done, 3D designing is still very hard. You don't just power up AutoCAD and make something for your home.
I just go
like
this and then just magically appears. I asked Rick Barraza, I'm like, can you make this for me?
But on the internet, there are several groupings that create models in a different way, with a model based on parameters using a technology called OpenSCAD.
Okay.
So what our app did was being able to retrieve a OpenSCAD, where a model is more like a program, functional programming, basically, and pass the program, figure out what parameters are inside this program, create a nice GUI, so when you open the model in the app, we get a GUI with whatever parameters are inside this model, and you can change the parameters. And what we did was placing the OpenS CAD in Azure. So after we had modified the model parameters, we actually shot the whole thing off to Azure. And Joey happens to be our Azure man, so I'll just hand it over to him for a second.
I'm very intrigued how Azure got into a 3D printing application there.
So basically what happened was is Eric sent a message queue message into a worker role, which then executed the SCAD, which then turned it into the STL file. So, and then we sent it back to the app.
So you guys actually did all your processing for that in the cloud?
Correct. There was no, and you can tell some lag in the application, but it was much faster to do it that way. So we wanted to incorporate Azure as well.
So. Okay. So basically you offloaded the process. So I could actually probably do this on an extremely low-end system, because it doesn't have to worry about the rafting and all that stuff, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I'll let Eric speak to that.
The app will work just as fine on a Surface RT than on a i7 Monster.
Okay.
There's really no thing. What we did, as you see on the screenshot, when we get the model back from Azure, we showed to you in 3D using, actually we ended up using IE11's support for WebGL.
Okay, so this even has WebGL built into it?
So the white square with the model is actually a web view control through an open source project called 3.js displaced the model with WebGL. And then the final thing, and which is what is supported in 8.1 now, is that we print the model using the standard printer driver.
So basically you guys did 3D printing, added in WebGL and Azure Worker Roles, but two out of those three were announced day one. And then also figuring out how to do all the new 3D print stuff. I mean, that is utterly amazing that you guys pulled that off. And I can see you actually have a little mascot there. Was that something you guys created, or did you get it off like Thingiverse?
No, we found it.
You found it?
That's an old thing. The ring I have here is the one that actually got printed out of the program.
So cool. Yeah. Well, like I said, this is an amazing application. I can see on the screenshot here right now with the ring, you actually have like ring sizes, ring thickness. So you guys were actually adapting the file on the fly?
As soon as you open the file, we will pass the entire source code from the model, figure out what parameters are inside there and what options if a parameter is option-based.
Okay.
And then on the fly generate the UI based on whatever it's in the file.
So going back to that, so I could actually make the ring thicker along with the symbol size, mess with the symbol sizes. It goes up to Azure, reprocesses it, sends it down, gives you the STL file, then that STL file is then sent to the printer.
Exactly. So easy that
your
mom
it's
could
so
do it.
It's so easy. It's magic. So actually, to me, that is magic. So you have like right now a cube, your screenshot also showed a ring. Could you do anything else? Like how does it know it's a ring versus the cube?
And that's the beauty of the OpenS CAD. If you go to Thingiverse, there is thousands of models that support customization.
Okay,
so
I did not know
that.
So
you simply pull off, the ring is a model pulled off Thingiverse.
Yeah.
And just save the file from the web and open the file in the app. If we had a little more time, we would have created a browser, but we didn't get around to the browser.
So what I just heard there, SCAD allows you to have, the object maker can set different parameters, allows you to update it on the fly. So let's say this wonderful octopus, the leg, the arms could grow, and same thing with the head?
Correct. The octopus is not a SCAD thing. We choose Nia was in charge of our PR and the design, and we wanted a cute logo, so we ended up with and
Lizzie the Wheezy Whip.
What you see is what you print.
What you see is what you print. But anything, because a model is a source code.
Yeah.
It looks a source. It's a program language, a bit different from the mechanisms are a bit different, but it looks like basic Pascal, whatever, you just program your drawing, and any constant, a constant variable in that language basically becomes a parameter, and that's what we are passing out of the executor, or out of the program to show in the app.
So, like I said, that blew my mind right there, and when you said that, because I didn't realize that. I just thought that was actually models that you guys were doing pre-done. I didn't realize that it was actually part of the file format, so... That's awesome. Well, thank you so much. You guys had an amazing application. You guys were, my mind has been blown what is possible in 50 hours. So thank you.
Thank you,
Eric.
Thank you.
And Channel 9 Live, thank you so much. This is the hackathon at Build. Coming up next, the close of Build stream with Charles and Larry. That shall be amazing.